just as fast as I can, but that's not much of a plan. When it all goes wrong, panic went straight to my legs. I'll sprint just to stay ahead. But now I'm at the end of my life. I've decided that I'm gonna sleep till I'm no longer Gale is all of my fault. Skip and let me be lost among the sea's great waves. Down to the depths I plunge. Death, come fill my lungs and release me from my life. I've decided that I'm gonna sleep till I'm no longer Jonah. Will I resurrect? There's evidence of life from death. Promise to be reborn, Jonah. Was this by design? Retreat to recognize you wait so patiently. From nowhere my prayer to you, to anywhere I escape to. You are faithful, I will resurrect. There's evidence of life from death. Promise to be reborn, Jonah. Oh, I will resurrect. There's evidence of life from death. Promise to be reborn, Jonah.
Hey, now I just heard a shout, and I don't get those when I preach. What's wrong with that? So... Man, oh, thank you so much. Who did that? All right, I had a little pity shout. Nothing wrong with that. Man, I tell you what, it is so good to be back with you guys. You realize I haven't preached in our church since the end of June, all right? And so it's so good to be back. Woohoo! Yeah, I get the... I'll see y'all next week. I'm going to go home. So, all right. Now, you know, after getting married and then going to South Asia on the mission trip, it's been quite a while since I've been back with you guys, and so I'm so excited to be here this morning, just getting to share God's word with you. You know, over the past month and a half since I've not been here, God has really been teaching me a lot of lessons, and one of the main lessons that he has been teaching me is that our most important duty as a Christian, the most important thing that we can do as believers in Jesus Christ, is to abide in him. To know him better, to love him better. Our lives are not all about what we do and how busy we can be and how much scripture we know or how good of Christian we can be, but what's most important is that I know Christ better, that I abide in his love, that I remember his great grace, that I remember his great mercy, that I reflect upon his attributes, I reflect upon his character, and then I seek to live that character out in my everyday life. And so with that in mind, I just want us to reflect for just a moment on a verse of scripture. It's found in Exodus. You don't have to turn there with me, but it's in Exodus chapter 34, verse 6. And it's a great verse that just reminds us of the character of God, and it helps us reflect upon that character. Let me just read this to you. It says, the Lord, He is a compassionate and gracious God. He is slow to anger, abounding in love, and abounding in faithfulness. Let me read that to you again. Let's just reflect on His character for just a moment. The Lord, He is a compassionate and gracious God. He is slow to anger, abounding in love, and abounding in faithfulness. These are the essential attributes of the character of God, and we need to reflect on these attributes so that we can live them out in our daily lives. What I've noticed as I've looked throughout Scripture is that God's compassion, His grace, His patience, His love, His faithfulness, these attributes are seen over and over again throughout all of Scripture. In fact, this same verse is repeated in Numbers, 2 Chronicles, Nehemiah, the Psalms, Joel, and the prophet Nahum. And we see God's grace and compassion come to a head in the person of Jesus Christ when He died on the cross and rose from the grave to give us the great gift of salvation. As we reflect upon these qualities, as we abide in Christ, as we fall more in love with the God of this universe, the purpose of that is so that we will worship Him by living out these same qualities in our own lives. We should be compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. We need to be that way with ourselves. We need to be that way with our families. We need to be that way with people in our church. We need to be that way with people outside of the church. As we reflect on who God is, His character should change us from the inside out. It's this idea of reflecting God's compassion, reflecting His character, that I want us to contemplate, that I want us to think upon as we look at a little book called the Book of Jonah. So go ahead and turn there with me. It's in the Old Testament. It's called the Book of Jonah. It's just four chapters. And we're going to look at a series over the next couple of months titled Our Compassionate God. Now, the reason we're going to look at this book is because all throughout the book of Jonah, God's great compassion, His grace, His mercy, His patience, His abounding love, His abounding faithfulness, they're shown over and over again, and then it's compared and contrasted with the hard, angry heart of God's prophet called Jonah. In fact, Jonah's not really a good example to follow in this book. He gets it wrong over and over again. And his story is told for us so that we can learn from his mistakes and instead of being hard-hearted and hateful, show the compassion of our gracious and loving God. And so as we read this story, we need to ask ourselves some questions. This book issues a challenge to all of us who claim to know God as Savior. Am I gracious to others? Am I faithful? Am I truly compassionate, or am I selfish? These are the questions that the book of Jonah makes us want to ask. So as we enter into this study, let's pray. And let's ask God to break any hardness of heart within us, to break down any selfishness, and let's choose to be compassionate, just like our compassionate God. So before we look at the text this morning, let's go ahead and pray and ask God to guide us into His Word. Father, we just thank You so much for loving us. We thank You so much for the grace and the compassion that You give us every day. We thank You for being a God of love, a God of faithfulness, a God of patience, because God, I don't deserve any of that, and yet You've given it to me freely. So Father, thank You so much for the salvation You give. Thank You so much for this church where we get to come to this morning. We get to read Scripture. We get to reflect on these truths. And I pray as we reflect on these truths, as we look at Your Scripture, that Your Spirit would change us, that Your Spirit would remake us, that we would be people who are compassionate to one another, that we would be people who are compassionate and sharing Your grace with those who don't know Jesus. Father, just change us, mold us, shape us, transform us into new people. Father, thank You so much for Your word. Spirit, we ask that You would guide us. And again, we just praise You for this time of study. We love You. We pray this in Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen. Now, before we get into this text, and we're just going to look at verses 1 through 3 this morning, but before we get into this text, let me just kind of set the scene and give you some background details for the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah, the events in this book take place somewhere around 800 years before the birth of Christ. So we're in what's called the Old Testament in the Old Covenant, 800 B.C. or so, give or take 50 years. Some of those datings are very hard in the Old Testament. At this particular time in the nation of Israel's history, the nation is split into two halves. There's a northern kingdom and there's a southern kingdom. And if you ever read through 1 and 2 Kings, man, you'll see that neither kingdom is really all that great. The northern kingdom never has a good, God-honoring, worshiping king. They constantly go astray. The southern kingdom, it still has the temple and it still has some good kings every now and again. But by and large, they don't really follow God all that well. Well, the prophet Jonah is actually from the northern kingdom. He worked for the king. He worked in the king's court. And he was meant to share God's word within that northern kingdom. Now, what do most people know about the book of Jonah? What's the main detail? A whale or a great fish. In fact, this morning I said, Maddie, I'm preaching on Jonah. She said, oh, he got swallowed by a whale. That's the first thing that came out of her mouth. Most of us know that, and that's a major detail in this story. But interestingly enough, it's not mentioned all that often. It's just mentioned really in a couple of verses, and it's really not even the main miracle in the story. All throughout the book of Jonah, what you'll see is that God is sovereign. God is king over nature. He's king over people. He's king over events. He's constantly gracious. He's constantly compassionate. He's constantly shaping events and shaping lives for His glory and for our good. And I really think that the greatest miracle that we see in the book of Jonah is this. God can love disobedient people. God can love people who rebel. God can love people who aren't good. God can love people who are wicked, and He can change us from the inside out. And that is truly the greatest miracle in the book of Jonah. It's the greatest miracle in all of life, that God can love somebody like me, that God can love someone like you, people who don't deserve His grace. That's a greater miracle than being swallowed by a sea creature, even though that's kind of a cool detail in the story. So as we walk throughout this book, we're going to look at that great compassion that God gives. Now this morning, we're going to look at verses 1 through 3. And what we're going to see is that God gives the prophet Jonah a calling. And then we're going to see Jonah respond to that calling. So let's go ahead and look at verses 1 and 2. And let's look at how God called Jonah to action. The Bible says that the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because its wickedness has come up before me. Let's talk about some of the phrases in these two verses. First, if you're taking notes, the phrase, the word of the Lord, that's used over 100 times in the Old Testament when in reference to God giving a message to His prophets. When the word of the Lord comes to a prophet, the prophet is expected to share. The prophet is expected to pronounce that judgment. The prophet is expected to pronounce that message. This is an authoritative message. God is calling Jonah. He's giving him the word of the Lord. He's giving him a very clear message that he needs to go and share. What we know about Jonah, and just for the sake of history, we know that Jonah prophesied about the same time as the prophets Amos and Hosea, so you can kind of get an idea of what is going on in Jonah's day if you go back and look at Amos and Hosea. Jonah's also mentioned in 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 25. So this is not just a story, this is a historical story, and God truly called Jonah into history with a very important message. Verse 2, the NIV says he was told to go to the great city of Nineveh. In the Hebrew, it literally says Jonah was told to get up and to go. There's a sense of urgency, a sense of promptness. You need to do this right now. Here is my word. Now get up and go share it. Don't wait. Don't hold back. Go out and share the message. And he's called to go and preach to a city called Nineveh. Nineveh was about 500 miles northeast of Israel, so it was a very long trip from where Jonah was. He's going into foreign territory. He's going into enemy territory, if you will. And in fact, you can actually still see the ruins of Nineveh today. If you're ever in Baghdad, if you're ever there, you know, sometime during the week, go by and see the ruins of Nineveh. It's in modern Baghdad if you want to see this. And so Jonah is called to go to the great city of Nineveh. He's probably going to preach to the city proper, and he's probably also going to preach to the surrounding communities, what we might call greater Nineveh. So he's got this strong message. He's got this authoritative message. He's got this urgent message to get up and to go. And the message is this: preach against the city because its wickedness has come up before me. Now, an interesting note, that word wickedness can also mean trouble. You see, God saw the wickedness of the people of Nineveh. He saw that they were in trouble of judgment. And so God sent his prophet to give them a message. And so here we have the scene that is set. Jonah is given an urgent message. He's given an authoritative message. He's expected to obey immediately. He's expected to go and share this because the people of Nineveh are without hope. They were without healing. They were without the word of God. And they need Jonah to go and share this message. And so what does Jonah do? Verse 3, Jonah responds. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Jonah was told to get up and go, and the Hebrew says he got up and ran away. So God gives him this authoritative message, this very clear message, and Jonah responds by running from God's call. Now, why did he do that? At this particular point in the story, we don't know why Jonah did that. We don't know why he's running from the Lord. As the story unfolds, we're going to get more details. But right now, we just need to be shocked by his disobedience. God gives him a very clear message, a very clear calling, an urgent calling. And for some reason, Jonah does the exact opposite. Now, let's talk about this word Tarshish for a minute. Jonah was supposed to go to Nineveh, but instead he fled for Tarshish. Tarshish was likely 2,000 miles to the west of where Jonah was in southern Spain. Basically, what Jonah was doing was getting as far away from Nineveh as humanly possible. You know, like when we say in our day and age, we use an idiom where we say, man, I'm as far out as Timbuktu. And Timbuktu is kind of this idiom that means we're a long way from anywhere. That's what Tarshish stood for. Jonah was going a long ways from anywhere. He was getting as far away from Nineveh as humanly possible. And in fact, he wasn't only trying to escape Nineveh. It said he was fleeing from the Lord. You see, Jonah had some bad theology. He probably thought, if I just get outside of Israel, if I just get outside of my homeland, I can get away from God. I can get away from his purpose for my life. I can get away from my calling. Maybe somebody else will do it. If I just get away from God's message for me, maybe he'll send somebody else. And so Jonah is openly rebelling against the call of God. So let's set this scene once again. The word of the Lord comes to Nineveh, or comes to Jonah. Go to Nineveh. Get up and go. It's an urgent message. It's an authoritative message. And Jonah openly rebels against the call of God. Now let's make this a little bit personal for us. We need to bring this home to us. We are not prophets in the Old Testament sense like Jonah was. I don't work for a king. I don't work in his court. We live after the time of Christ, and so there are some significant differences between us and Jonah, but there are also a lot of similarities between Jonah and us as the church, us as Christians. First, God has clearly called us. God has given all of us a calling. He has called us to himself. He has called us out of sin into a new life. He has called us out of an unloved state into a loved state. He has called us from lost to found. He has called us from death to life. He has called us to himself. And he issues that call to every single one of us. If we will just believe in the name of the Lord Jesus, we can be called to follow after God. Now, he's also given us a message to proclaim. We know as believers in Jesus Christ, we are called to go out and share what we call the gospel. The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. It is good news that Jesus was born. It is good news that Jesus lived. It is good news that Jesus died. It is good news that he rose from the grave, that he is coming again. That is the message that brings us life. That is the message that brings us hope. and we are meant to go out and share that word with other people. And this message is an urgent message. It's an authoritative message. It's something we're supposed to act on. We need to be looking for opportunities to share the hope of the gospel with others. We need to be looking for opportunities to serve others in the name of Jesus. We need to be looking for opportunities to take the good news, the great commission, the message of the gospel to our family, our friends, our neighbors, and to the ends of the earth. This is our calling as Christians. And sometimes we do this. Sometimes we actually go out and we are obedient and we share the gospel and we see fruit and we plant seeds and we do things in the name of Jesus. And sometimes we are obedient and sometimes we're like Jonah. Sometimes we run away from the task. Sometimes we neglect the call of God. And we all have different reasons for this. Sometimes we're just afraid. We're afraid to share the gospel because we don't want to be rejected or we don't know what to say. Let's just be honest, though. I think the number one reason is sometimes we're just lazy. We're just apathetic. We're not convinced of the goodness of the gospel, and so why would I share it with other people? And sometimes we just hope somebody else will do it. Just like Jonah fled from the Lord, just like Jonah hoped God would call somebody else, sometimes we think, well, I don't have to because maybe the pastor will, or maybe my Sunday school teacher will, or maybe my Christian friend or Christian neighbor will, and we just hope that God is going to send somebody else from the task. But whatever our reason is, if we are not going out and sharing the gospel and meeting needs in the name of Jesus, we are openly rebelling against God. And so sometimes we are like Jonah. So I just want us to ask this question of ourselves. How are we responding to God's call? He has called each and every one of us to know Him. He has called each and every one of us to make Him known. Are we obedient? Are we looking for opportunities? Are we praying for opportunities? Or are we running from the task? Guys, our God is compassionate. Our God is gracious. Our God is Savior. Our God is faithful. Our God is good. He has given us a calling. Let's be obedient and share the gospel with those we come in contact with. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? I first want to just offer this invitation to everyone here who would say, yes, I am a Christian. Yes, I know I've been called by God. I belong to Him. And so this invitation is first for you. Spend some time praising God for the goodness of His gospel. Praising God for the salvation that He has brought to you. Guys, we didn't earn it. There's nothing we can do to earn it. We aren't good enough, and God has just freely given it to us. And spend some time just praising Him for that freeness. Christians, I'm still speaking to you. Next, let's pray this prayer. God, help me to share the gospel. Help me to see the urgency of this task. Help me to see the goodness of the message and then go and share that with others. Guys, sometimes we're going to share it with words and we're going to just share what God is doing in our lives. And sometimes it may just be planting a seed and saying, hey, how can I pray for you? And opening that door to share the gospel. There are times we're going to share the gospel with our actions by serving others and meeting needs. All of that is needed. We need to do all of that. And so pray and say, God, give me a passion for sharing the gospel. We need to share the gospel in our homes. We need to share the gospel in our workplaces. We need to share the gospel when we're out eating lunch. We need to share the gospel to the ends of the earth. All of this is our calling. All of this is our task. And so pray that God would give us all as a church, as Christians, a passion for sharing His good news. Say, God, help me to reflect on Your character, Your nature, and then let that character flow through me to other people. Help me to reflect that compassion and that grace and that mercy that You have. Now, there may be people here God thing, but maybe you're not a Christian. Man, first, if that's you, I'm so glad that you're here. Thank you so much for being here. But I want to challenge you this morning to make a decision to believe in what I've talked about, the gospel. The Bible says that all of us have a broken relationship with God. We have all sinned. We have all done wrong. And that has broken our relationship with God. And we all deserve punishment. We deserve to spend this life and eternity without God. But because God is good, because God is compassionate, because God is gracious, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, to rise from the grave, so that we can have new life. And Scripture says that if you believe in Him, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is life, you can have that new life. And so I encourage you this morning to make a decision to follow after Jesus Christ. You can go to Jesus in prayer right now and say, Jesus, I want to put my trust in You. I believe You died on the cross. I believe You rose from the dead. And I ask You to be the Lord of my life. Make me new. Help me to reflect Your compassion, Your grace to other people. And the Bible says that if you put your faith in what Jesus Christ has done, you are what we call saved. You are a Christian. You are forgiven. You are given new life. And if that's you this morning, you've made that decision to follow Jesus, every head is bowed, every eye is closed. I'm going to ask you to do something kind of hard. I'm here at the front. I would love for you to come down and say, I have made that decision to follow Jesus Christ. And the reason that's so important is because this church wants to pray for you, and we need to be telling others about what God is doing in our lives. So that's kind of your first step of telling others what God is doing in your life. And so if that's you this morning, every head is bowed, every eye is closed. I'm going to be here at the front. If you need to let me know you've made a decision to follow Jesus, do that. If you've got some other prayer requests, maybe you just want to pray with me about something, I would love to do that as well. Nate and the band are going to play for a few more moments. Every head bowed, every eye closed, if you need to come and speak with me, please do so. Or if you just want to sit where you are and worship God for His grace and His compassion, do that as well. Nate, continue to play for a few more moments. So much for this morning, and God, Your grace and Your mercy are new every single day, and so I just pray we would rest in that, and that we would know we are loved by You. Even when we don't do everything right, we're still loved by You, and so I just pray, God, that we would rest in the knowledge of Your love, and that love would flow through us to other people. Father, help us to learn from the lessons that Jonah has given us here in this book. Help us to remember the great calling You have given us, the message You have given us, and I just pray we would be obedient. Love You. We pray this in Christ's name, and God's people said, amen. All right, so at this time, we're going to have our gentlemen come forward for our offering.